But I'm gonna tell you the truth. Need You was like a song that like it was almost not gonna get released. I don't know. It was just one of them ones that it was cool, but like we weren't really high on it. It was kind of like a 4 or 5 to us out of 10. Out of nowhere, my dad had this like feeling in his heart about it. Out of nowhere, it was like, bro, we need to tease this on TikTok. So we posted it, and I checked my phone while I'm at the club. And like literally in an hour, it had like 300,000 views. And it was going crazy. And by the time I made it home, it was like 2 million views.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. I'm your host, Jacob Kelly. As always, today's podcast is powered by Surf. And this is the podcast where we teach you how to grow on social media by talking to people who have actually done it. People like Fresco Trey, who has over 500,000 followers on TikTok and over 1.3 million streams per month on Spotify. I cannot be more excited to have you on the podcast today. Trey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate that. Excited to be here. Let's do it, man.
I'm excited to have you here, and where I want to start today, man, I was wondering if you could tell me the significance of Hamilton High School.
Sheesh. Hamilton High School, that's a special place for me. I want to say I was 2 or 3 years old when I won a talent show at Hamilton High School for me rapping. This is before I started playing basketball. This is before I could really even talk. I was up there with my cousin and shit. It was just having a good time, and I was mumbling those words and the crowd went crazy. We actually got it on video somewhere around in my house, but that's a wild memory right there. It's a good time.
So that was like the beginning of your musical career then. And then from my understanding, you know, you said you were just kind of mumbling on stage then, but you really started rhyming in elementary school, right?
Like 4th and 5th grade was like when I first started like freestyling for real with the bros. And we was just freestyling. It was just coming up with crazy stuff, you know, we were young, you know, just talking about ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, whatever came up. But, you know, that's when it started for me.
But so even at that age, was music ever something you considered? I know you mentioned basketball there a second ago. That was a big part of your life growing up. And so was music ever a thought, or was it always basketball growing up?
It was always basketball. Music wasn't, I never had the confidence to like pop out with music, you know, so that was never a thing for me. I just was like, all right, this is something I do in my, like, I never let my parents hear me rap. You know, I never let certain people hear me rap because I didn't want to be like, I didn't want people to come around and be like, Trey, rap, you know, like my confidence wasn't there. So I just did it like, in my free time, my spare time with my friends or by myself or with my sister. And shit, whenever I got older, I started gaining more confidence just in myself as a person, not even just my music, just myself as a person. And, you know, I took that leap and here we are.
And that leap started, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a day you went, I think it was like 11th grade, you went to the studio with your sister, right?
Yeah, of course. Exactly. It was 11th grade summer. So I had graduated 11th grade, and this is the summer going into my senior year. And she took me to the studio with her once. And that was my first time being in the studio ever. And I felt like, I don't know, it just felt so good and so natural being in the studio. Like, even when I wasn't even making the music, my sister was making the music, but I was like helping out and it just felt so comfortable. And I don't know, it just changed my whole aspect of my life. You know, basketball went down and music just became the cream of the crop right there.
And so with that decision though, with basketball start going down, music to start coming up, is that tough for you? You know, like your whole identity growing up is wrapped around basketball. Is that weird to kind of get to a place where you're getting offers, I think for places like Rice University, if I'm not mistaken, and you know, you've put all this time, all this work in, and now you're like, you know, I don't think this is for me. Is that a weird thing for you to kind of have to navigate, especially at that age too, like 16, 17?
Really, for me personally, it wasn't as weird because I was so focused on what I was doing. But it kind of was at the same time because like I was looking at other people's career. Like I was looking at other artists in the music industry. And I had like, I really never seen a person, it's some, but I never seen like a real person who like took sports other than like 2 Chainz and like Master P, who took like sports super serious and then was able to cross over and become a real artist that people respected and like, okay, he's an artist. So I was looking at that and that kind of, I ain't gonna lie, at the first it kind of like, was like almost pushing me away because I was like, people are not going to take me serious because I'm coming from hooping it is. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to set my mind to this and like be different and be myself. And, you know, if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. I never really been a person who tried to impress everybody. I just wanted to be able to be, you know, myself wherever I was at. So I was like, that was like my fuel right there. Really trying to be that person who did basketball serious, who could have went to college maybe to further, you know, and who's just like, all right, I'm switch it all up and do something different and still be successful. That's kind of like the motivation I'd be wanting to give off to other kids under me. Like, you know, you might do basketball, you might do this, you might do that, and it might not work for you, but don't get discouraged. Like, you know, so you can hop in another lane and go crazy at it, just be yourself and be determined. So that was the biggest thing for me.
And so what point, because I know when you were in the studio with your sister that day, like you were kind of helping her out, you were giving her some lines, and she was like, you know, maybe this is, you should do music. And you still at that point were kind of like, nah, I still think I'm going to do basketball. Even when you left the studio that day, like basketball was still the number one. So like, what was that point when you finally changed your mind?
I think it was when my dad is like a big part of my life. Always been since I was a little kid up to now still. And his approval has always been like a big thing for me, like a real big thing for me. And the day I told him about I wanted to do music, he was mad at me. But then a few days later, he came back and was like, let me just hear your music. And I played him some of my stuff I had recorded secretly. And he liked it. And when he told me he liked it, it was like all the approval I needed. After that, I was just like really not even going to practice. I was like half-assed in the basketball games. Like that was the only approval I really like wanted and I got. And that was it for me. That was like 12th grade year doing, it was during the basketball season. And that was it. It was set in stone from there.
And that music you record, that kind of music you said you recorded secretly, was that from the studio time your sister booked for you? Because I think like you started writing rhymes in your notes app and your phones were connected or something and she saw that and then she booked studio time for you. Is that when you recorded those secret songs?
Nah. So my sister, she's the reason I'm doing this shit now. I went to my studio session with her. I went to another one with her where I recorded a song and she sang on it afterwards. And then after that, I had a problem because I didn't like how the engineer had me sounding. So she surprised me like a week later with my own studio equipment. And so, but my mom and them didn't know. So it was upstairs in my room. And I didn't have speakers. So I was just doing it in my headphones. So they wouldn't know what I was doing. My parents never come upstairs to my room. So I was just up there making music. And I just started recording myself. It sounded trash, but like, ever since that one session that I didn't like what happened, I just was recording myself from there to now. Like I just recorded myself and I taught myself how to do a lot of different things. So that's why I was recording those songs secretly.
So was Lonely recorded when you were by yourself or was that recorded in those studio sessions?
That was recorded in that first studio session where I didn't like how it sounded. That's the song that was recorded there. Yeah, after everything else I did wrong.
And so, like, what did you do after that? After that first song, after Lonely, like, what did you do differently that made you like the way you sounded better?
It was too much auto-tune on me when I went. And I don't like to have a lot of auto-tune on me because, I don't know, I just feel like, like I told you at the beginning, like, I like to be myself. I like to portray that to my fans. So I wanted to be as kind of like as natural as it can get before, you know, you need a little bit of help. But when I was recording, they put too much auto-tune. They make it sound too robotic. I don't know. It was just a lot of weird stuff. But I was able to find my niche when I started recording myself. And, you know, it's been working for me.
And you said you got like, you know, you got the approval from your dad. Your dad liked your music when you showed it to him. What did all the kids at school think? Right? Because you went to a prep school, right? It was like St. Benedict, right?
Yeah, high school.
So what did everybody think when you start putting out music?
At first, it was kind of like that. It was a few people who had, like, I feel like, I wouldn't even say had the courage to say they like my music, but, you know, they liked my music and they weren't afraid to say it. So it was a couple people that was like that, but majority of my class, like my classmates and people at my school, they really weren't like too fond of it. They weren't showing the support. Other prep schools though were like messing with it, you know. Obviously it was on a smaller scale, but it was cool. And then after a while, after me doing it for a while, and they constantly send me dropping music and being consistent, my school kind of like they weren't just like pushing for me, but that was like, okay, we support it. Like we'll repost it if you send it to me. You know what I'm saying? Like something like that. That was pretty cool. And I was able to perform at our pep rally, which is something that probably will never ever happen again because that school isn't like that. So it was an interesting experience, but it was cool.
And so you grew up from Memphis, right? Whitehaven specifically?
Whitehaven, yeah.
What did growing up in Memphis teach you, just about life in general?
I mean, obviously, you know, our motto, grit and grind, you know, just go out there and get what you want, take it, you know. Don't ask for nothing. You really can't really just ask for nothing. Ain't nobody going to give you nothing. Like, you just got to go out there and get it yourself. So, I mean, but aside from that, man, like, how I grew up, my dad heavily involved in the community. So, you know, for me being from Memphis, I just grew up around, like, helping because it was so many kids that was less fortunate than me. So I'm like, we was always helping out, letting people come stay at the crib, taking care of people's Christmases, the birthdays. And that was, like, a big thing growing up in my household. So that's, like, another thing that I really, you know what I'm saying, I'm strongly dated in is like just helping out as much as I can, trying to be there for people less fortunate than me. Another thing that I kind of got, and I feel like you can get taught this anywhere because this is more of like a environmental thing within my family and shit. It was just me always being that person who dares to be different. And that was like true for me because where in my hood, Whitehaven, where I'm from, it's all like, you know, it's not a nice part of the Memphis. So it was like, it's a lot of like guns, da da da, this, that, this and that. And so I was one of the ones who dared to be different and like, you know, rap about different things, dress a different way, carry myself a little different. Even when I was around the people who they had drugs, guns, whatever they had, I would still carry myself in a manner that's like, damn, like, where you from, bro? Like, you must not be from over here. But I'm from right in the same, you know what I'm saying? So that was my takeaway from being from Whitehaven is that it really shaped me to wherever I'm at in the world, I can be comfortable with myself and know that, you know, so I could change my surroundings by my vibrations I bring to the room, my energy I bring to people, you know. So that's a big one for me. So
why do you think you are different? Like, why do you, especially having the comfort to be different and to express that? Because a lot of people might feel different, but they don't feel comfortable enough to express that. So like, what is it about you that makes you comfortable enough to do that?
I mean, it will start off with my people that I'm around every day. We're all super not judgmental. We're super just open with everything, you know, whatever you're going through, however you're feeling, we're super open with it. And that's like one of the things that makes me that way. And another thing is that when I took a year off from basketball and was like doing music, I was alone a lot because my best friend had went to college for basketball. My other friends were working all the time. It was all out of school. They was always working. So I was alone. Like my mom and dad told me, you got a year to do music and see if it goes somewhere or you got to go to college. So I was alone for a year and I was forced to connect with myself and like, really see what I loved about myself, really see how to be alone. And that was like the best thing for me, I feel like, was that year I was alone. And it just taught me so much. You know, I was learning about my spirituality. I was reading, I was doing different things. It's really just coming into contact with myself and, I don't know, just mastering peace, you know. Like, I don't know if you heard my song, Need You, when I was like, what'd I say? I said, my inner peace, I mastered it. But I was being honest because, like, I feel like I mastered my inner peace just by being alone for so long. That's how I'm able to be, you know, it's just different and not care what people say to this day.
How do you maintain that peace, especially as your career progresses and you continue to have more and more success? Like, that's going to be more opportunities, more things coming at you, more people wanting to talk to you. Like, how in all of that chaos are you still going to be able to find that inner peace?
Like I said, and this is another thing, is like the people around me I've been friends with since young. So like, we all keep each other humble and grounded. And my spirituality is super strong as well. So anytime like anything bad happens or anything good happens, I look at it and it's a law within the spirituality world. popularity, and it's like being able to just stay in this medium ground, no matter if you got good, just knowing that every good thing or every bad thing has a mirror. So it's like every time something good happens, just know it's going to be bad come with it. But if you know that, and then you're able to stay grounded, and that's where I'm at in my life. And that's how I'm able to just, you know, be peaceful whenever I got a song that does millions of streams. I can still stay humble because I know that, you know, I'm going to have a song that only do 500,000, but I got to be able to stay on course. And I feel like if you're doing that, then you're always moving up. You're never going back. Once you start letting stuff get you depressed or get you anxious, because when you're thinking about stuff, and I don't know, it's got me depressed before, you know, before I was where I'm at now. So now I've witnessed that. I know how to cope with it. And that's how I do it.
And how did you say summer two was like those first 2 years were a real grind? Like you said, there was that year where everybody left and you were by yourself. And it was an article or something. I said, the first two years doing music was hard. It was just kind of like you and your dad, like down in some of those more down moments when, you know, it's tough to stay level in times like that. Like, how do you keep going? Like, how close have you gotten in those 2 years? Was there ever a point where you got close to giving up and just going to college or something?
Mm-mm. It was never a point. It was a point where my mama was to the point where she was like, all right, you got to go to college. But it was never a point in my life where I felt that this is not for me. Honestly, because it's like, I feel like when you're doing something, you're going to have a few people who like your music, who support it, da, da, da. You're going to have family members who say, all right, I like your music. But it was to a point where, like, it was just crazy. It was like people from all over the world. It wasn't a lot, but it was like people from all over the world. I'm talking about overseas, like everywhere. They would come to me. They would like DM me or something. I'm like, I'm still starting up. They would DM me and just be like, bro, like, yo, you're going to be big. Like, your music is crazy. And like, when I see stuff like that, I'm a big believer of like, a lot of people try to get you to, you know, they focus on getting everybody to listen to your music, right? I'm a big believer of the people who are rocking with you, feed them. Focus on them, because we tend not to focus on the people who supporting us, trying to get everybody else to, you know what I'm saying, give in to us. But I'm a big believer on like the people who are rocking with you and supporting you, be good to them, because they're going to keep supporting you, and they're going to be the ones that buy your stuff. They're going to be the ones that put their friends on. So me saying that is just like, when they were sending me stuff like that, that helps me, because it's just like, all right, now I have people who I know loves my music, and I can focus on them and continue to grow my fan base, but I'm not leaving out the people who actually care. And that was the thing that got me the most, is just seeing those messages and knowing that, all right, now I have something to keep. Now I have a reason to keep making the music I'm making, because somebody's resonating with it. You know what I'm saying? Somebody is going through what I'm going through, and it's helping them. And that was like the thing that kind of kept the ball rolling for me.
And how do you keep that focus on your fans and your supporters? Because, you know, with social media and everything, like, it's very easy to see what other people are got going on and compare yourself to other people. And like, how is this person growing faster than I am? Do they get more streams than I do? How do you keep that focus on your fans and those people that are rocking with you in those moments, instead of just focusing on what everyone else is doing?
It's because I don't want to keep bringing up my spirituality, but my spirituality is really like what I really, I believe that's like one of the big reasons I'm where I'm at, because how deep I am into it. And it's just so, I'm just so connected with it. But I really believe, you know, in just like social media is beneficial to what I do and to what a lot of us do. But it's like, and it's cliche to say, but it's just not real. And that's like my dying truth that I'm going to die with. It's just like, social media is not real. You know, even me, like, sometimes I'll just go out. I'll be in my PJs, but I'll go throw on some jeans and a shirt and go take a picture just to post to make it seem like I'm doing something interesting, when I'm really just in the bed watching TV. So it's not real. And it's like, If you think about the future too much, you get anxious. If you think about the past, you get depressed. So it's like, if I'm thinking about like, all right, where I'm gonna be at this time, or what they doing right now, and they younger than me, but they lit more lit. If I start thinking about that, I'm gonna get anxious or depressed, because it's just like, all right, maybe I'm not doing something right, or I'm gonna think that the work I'm putting in ain't good enough, or the shit I'm doing ain't good enough. when, you know, it's good to be motivated all the time, but like, don't start putting yourself down because somebody else doing something. That's, everything comes at the right time. You know what I'm saying? I'm a firm believer of that because I'd have people that, you know, was popping way before me circle back around and hit me up now that I'm like, that I looked up to. And that's because my time wasn't then. My time is whenever, you know, shit happens for me. And that's how I'm able to just stay how where I'm at with seeing everything on social media, is just knowing that timing is key, you know. And as long as you're happy for others and you're putting out good energy and good vibrations, your time's going to come when it's supposed to. But you got to, when it comes, you got to be able to be ready to, you know what I'm saying, knock down that door and go crazy when your time comes. So, I mean, that's just how I live. So I just stay working, stay preparing myself for when my time comes, go crazy. You know, so.
And I want to jump back to the thing you talked about with Instagram, where like you'll hop out of bed from watching movies and put on a fit, take a picture just for the gram. Like that's to upkeep your image. So I'm curious, like in your own words, what is Fresco Trey's image?
My image is, I would like to say, it's just super, I want to say real and authentic. I try not to do too much, like even with my team, you know, when they ask me, like I perform with no shoes on. I perform in like, whatever I wake up and put on that day, most times I perform in it. And it's like, I tell my team, like, it's kind of on purpose because, like, I make music for people to relate to. I don't really make too much music for people to just go party to or go turn up to. It's more relatable. Maybe the beat can let you turn up a little bit, but it's more relatable. So if I'm making music like that, I want to be relatable to the public eye as well. I want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm wearing something, some chill stuff, you know, I want people to see that because I don't want people to who listen to my music to live life thinking, all right, I gotta go spend my last money to be like Fresco Trey, or I gotta go lose all my friends trying to be something else because I want to be like Fresco Trey. I want them to know that if you want to be like Fresco Trey, just be yourself, point blank, period. You know what I'm saying? If you got a bad hair day, embrace it. If you got a, you know what I'm saying? If you're going through a heartbreak, embrace it. Just like talk about it. You know, it's all right to cry, bro. Like, it's okay. And that's my image I want to give off. So it's really just been authentic. Like whatever you see is what you get. That's really how it is with me.
There's someone else I'm thinking of who's very much authentic in being who they want to be. And it's Post Malone. I know you linked up with Post and it was like 2019, I think. It was something like, what was that? The connect was like, you knew someone who was playing ball at Memphis who went to middle school with Post or something like that. Like that's how that connect was made.
Yeah. He went to middle and high school with him.
And so then how did what was the circumstance then where you ended up in a room with Post for the first time? Like how did that happen?
He invited me Post. So I was cool with his friend. Been just sending his friend music because his friend was just like helping me out. And I guess he sent one of them to Post and Post liked it. And he had a show in Atlanta that he invited me and my friend to. So we went up there, went to the show. I went backstage with him, talked to him for a little bit. He was super drunk though, so we didn't talk for a little bit. And then I went home. And then I went to, he invited me back to a couple shows he had in LA. We was able to kick it there. I stayed with him at his crib. And the last thing was I dropped a song called By My Side. And it became his favorite at that point in time. And he came to Memphis for a show on his tour. And he, you know, he put me to pull up. And when he pulled up, he was just like, bro, I want you to come to the rest of the tour with me. And that's just where, like, you know, the bond just started right there.
So what do you learn from someone like Post? You know, especially if you're touring with him, like he's probably telling you things, but like you're probably watching him operate as he goes through this. Like what are some of those things that stick with you today that have either influenced your music or just the way you're operating as an artist?
I think it's just his soul. It's just so genuine. No matter what, you know, it's been times where he's been, you know, pissed off in private. But as in a public eye, you would never see it. And that was the most impressive thing to me, is just like being able to just be just so like genuine and just being such a good soul to all your fans. And I see that it really correlates and makes them love you. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, bro, that's what really stuck with me. Because I'm at heart, I'm an introvert. So it's like, it's hard for me to just be on the, being people's face all the time. But when I seen that, I'm like, bro, like, that's so crazy. And that's how I am. That's why I am how I am now, is seeing that. And it's crazy you asked me about it because he's like really like one of my biggest inspirations when it comes to music.
There's one other person I wanted to ask you about and kind of their impact on your career, and that's Mike Boyd.
Mike Boyd. That's the guy right there, man. Mike Boyd is real, all right, bro. Mike Boyd is like a, I want to say he's like an alien. He's like one of them people that you consider an alien. Like Elon Musk, we say he an alien. Mike Boyd is like an alien. It's like he's super special and super funny, super special. And like, I just feel like my career wouldn't be, it would be, but it would like, I don't know. He's like got such a impact on my career right now that, you know, it would like some of the stuff that I've accomplished wouldn't be done without Mike. And, you know, he's super humble. Like, if you ask him, he'll never say that, but I'll say it. You know what I'm saying? I'll give him his flowers because he's really been a driving force for me, just having my back, just, you know what I'm saying, sacrificing just because he believed in my music and just putting me out there and really showing me some love. And, you know, I'm forever grateful to Mike and Gary and the whole VaynerMedia. Super, super thankful to them. And I don't know. Just, it's all love. So.
What are some of those doors Mike's opened for you?
Shoot. Endless brand deals, sure. Meeting Gary V, me being able to go to the All-Star game and just be able to really connect with people, you know what I'm saying? Because Mike's word is a lot. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. You did a lot. We got a lot more stuff we're working on, so stay tuned for that.
I'm looking forward to it. I want to ask you about some of your songs, and specifically Now. Because before Need You dropped, because I think that's when you first came across my radar, was on TikTok with Need You. But Feel Good was kind of like, was that your biggest song before Need You?
Yeah, that was a song that got like all the like labels calling and everything. That was the, yeah.
And so, you know, that song pops off. You said labels are calling you, but you sat on that song for like 6 to 7 months before putting it out. I'm curious why you didn't put it out sooner.
Because, all right. First, I had, so, first that beat, so if you listen to the song, the original song without Lil TJ, it goes for like a minute or two without any drums or anything. So, originally, I just had a first verse and a hook, and I was going to leave it like that and just drop it like that. But the team, when I played it for the team, they liked it so much, that was like, nah, bro, like, you gotta have a second verse. So I went back and I put a second verse. And me personally, I wanted to drop it without drums. But my team was like, bro, no, you got to add drums. So we had to take another time to like get some production added to it and fit how I wanted it to sound, because at first it wasn't sounding right. And so we had to do that. And then we was traveling at the time, doing stuff like meeting with people. Then we got to LA to shoot the video. We shot it, you know what I'm saying? It took a little bit for it to get edited and stuff like that. And then we eventually dropped it, but it was just at first I didn't have enough. I had just made it off like, bro, I made that in like 25-30 minutes, just like in my studio freestyling, you know, just coming up. It was a good vibe. I was making a lot of sadder stuff. It was a good vibe, man. I don't know. It just went up.
Do you prefer to make the sadder stuff or the more upbeat stuff?
I like making the sadder stuff better. I could bring both. I've been trying to get my vault a little bit more equal, because it's like right now it's like sad, happy. So I've been trying to like do a little bit of both so I can have a little bit of mixture, but I like making the sad stuff.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of like the more kind of the happy stuff, the upbeat stuff, that was kind of the stuff that was really getting kind of taking off to that next level. And then it wasn't until Need You dropped that one of your sad songs really went, right? Like, was that a really validating song for you to see the traction that song got?
Yeah, and it kind of warmed my heart too, because like I told you, I like making a sadder song, so like the more sad songs. And when it took off, I was just like, all right, thank you. I started thanking the universe. I'm just like, all right, you made come true what I wanted to happen. You know what I'm saying? I really didn't want to blow up making like hype songs, because it's not my vibe. So when that one kind of like took off, I was like, thank you. Like, this is, because people going, they're going, now they look for me for the emotional songs, which I like making because I've been through some stuff. So it was a great feeling for me.
Can you tell when a song is going to take off? Like, do you know when you have a hit?
You know what? I thought I did when I dropped Feel Good, because we knew Feel Good was a good song. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Need You was like a song that like, it was almost not going to get released. It was like, I don't know. It was just one of them ones that it was cool, but like we weren't really high on it. It was kind of like a 4 or 5 to us out of 10. And I don't know. My dad, out of nowhere, my dad had this like feeling in his heart about it out of nowhere. It was like, bro, we need to tease this on TikTok. I'm like, all right. So we posted it. And it was crazy because I posted a longer, so I had posted a long version of it from like the beginning to like maybe the end of the chorus. And it was doing okay. Like my TikTok had been shadow banned and that video had got like 40,000 likes. So I'm like, but the views weren't up. So I'm like, what the fuck's going on? So literally that night or maybe the next day, I posted another video to like one specific part that I kept seeing people say in the comments. And it was like, he got you 100 when he had 100,000. So I kept seeing people say that in the comments. So I'm like, all right, let me just make a video today. And I made a video and then I went to a club. And I checked my phone while I'm at the club. And like literally in an hour, it had like 300,000 views. And I was like, hold on. And it was going crazy. And by the time I made it home, it was like 2 million views. And I was like, sheesh, we got to drop it. And that was it. So like I said, to answer your question, I don't really know what a hit is now because it's like, I don't know. I make so many songs, you never really know.
And so with making so many songs, what gets released, you know? Because like I've heard people like, you hear Gary talk about like, put out a song like every day or every week, you know, and just let's see what people react to. But also for you as an artist, like there's got to be some level of like care over what you create and what you release. Like how do you determine what songs to put out there? What songs stay in the vault? Like what's kind of the cadence you'd ideally like to be putting the music out at?
So as of now, I've been using TikTok as that guide or that source. But I was talking to my dad yesterday. I'm slowly getting away from that because I feel like, you know, bigger artists and, you know, don't really just tease all their unreleased music. You know, they give the fans what resonates with their heart. And I feel like I'll move more into that. But right now, as of now, it's like letting the social media decide what to drop next, whatever just catches fire. It's kind of like the process right now.
But I mean, that's a good, like we've seen that happen. I think the Kid Laroi does that. I remember it was the little Dirk Morgan Wallen song, like when Morgan Wallen put out his verse on that track. I remember that went viral on TikTok. So like, it's still a really good strategy, I think. And those are some pretty big artists that do that.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like most times though, the other artists, they post the song that they already know they're going to drop anyway. They just post it to make it seem like, I don't know, just give a little suspense to it. But they know they're going to, that's why they, like me, like if you go on my TikTok, you'll probably see like 12, 13 unreleased songs on there. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, that's cool. But I want to start being more of like, all right, this is what I'm going to drop. Go read it up. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'll get there eventually. It's like a steps.
And do you like TikTok? Do you like being on camera and filming those videos?
I don't like being on camera. I ain't gonna lie. I don't. But, you know, I got to sacrifice it. That's the business I'm in, but I really don't. I was talking to my homegirl last night. She's like, she's super big on TikTok. And she was like trying to do TikToks with me. And I'm like, bro, I don't really want to do it because like, she was saying, oh, it's going to get you out there more like your face. And I was like, that's exactly what I don't want to happen. I want to keep being able to go to the grocery store with my mom and dad and be cool, you know? Because right now, it's kind of like, it's one of them things where, like, if I go out and I talk to, and I'm just, like, talking to you, people don't know who I am. But when they ask me, like, oh, what's your name? I'm like, Fresca. And it's like, oh, my, can I get a picture? My son loves you. Or, like, da-da-da. I'm like. So my name is known, but like my face is kind of still like, it's in that place where I can still go out and have a good time. So I like that though.
And how much longer do you think you can enjoy that luxury? You know, like as you continue to go and your career continues to progress, like that's not going to be the reality for much longer, I can imagine.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to enjoy now. Mm-hmm. But nah, I think probably about another year, half a year maybe, it'll be more crazy.
And so like, what's the appeal of being an artist for you? You know, if you don't like being on camera, you kind of like your private moments, you're introverted. Like what's the draw of being an artist for you?
I think it's being able to just be honest about how I'm feeling no matter what. I feel like in other occupations, as like say if I was a basketball player or if I was in sports or in politics or something, I have to watch what I say. And I can't be honest. But as an artist, my job is to be honest. You know what I'm saying? If I'm sad, I can say that. If I'm mad, I can say that. If I'm happy, I probably shouldn't say it, but I can. You know what I'm saying? I have every right to. And that's what I like the most is just that freedom of, really that freedom of speech and just that freedom of life, you know, and being able to create my own schedule, wake up. And if I want to make music today, I make music today. If I want to rest today, I rest. And nobody can be mad at me or say anything to me. I think that's like what I like about being an artist the most is just, I don't know, being able to live for real.
Kind of with being an artist, especially coming from Memphis, like Memphis is having a bit of a resurgence right now. Like there's a lot of names coming out of Memphis in the hip hop. Like we got NLE Choppa, Moneybagg Yo, Key Glock. I think Yo Gotti's from Memphis as well, right? I believe.
Yeah.
And like your sound is different from what, like, I feel like when people hear like hip hop from Memphis, the sound they'll associate with is probably different from your sound, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, we kind of talked about you like being different. So do you also like the fact that your music is different too?
Oh yeah. And you know, I love it because you know, I'm different. Two is because like me being that different way has made all of them names that you say reach out to me some type of way and just want to like work with me because shit's so different from where I'm from. And that's like a plus because, you know, at first when I was doing music, like I told you, nobody wanted to hop on the wave. That was like, I don't really know. But now they all respect it. They all respect that I'm different and I don't care to be in that same lane. And once you got respect, that's the only really thing that, you know, that matters. It's, you might not like me, you might hate me, you might love me. But if you don't respect me, then that's a problem. But now, you know, the respect is there. So I love it.
Is it harder to go down your own separate lane? Like, could you have made music kind of in that, what is it, the hype music, you know, that's coming in? Like, if you'd made it kind of more in the mold of how everyone else is popping off out of Memphis, do you think you could have blown up quicker than you have? Like, has going your own lane made finding success take longer for you?
Yeah, for sure. I think I could have made it faster doing it the other way because really what separated me was me having my dad and him making me work hard as shit at like promoting myself and like going out. So I feel like that's what really separated myself. So that's what really separates me. So if I was doing the other music, I for sure would have probably made it faster because, you know, I already had that work ethic. I already had that hustle mentality with getting my stuff out. So it just would have been what people already was accustomed to. So it would have been just listening to it.
You probably could have got traction quicker, but do you think in the long term, if we kind of zoom out, look at it from the big picture, like you might've popped off quicker, but you probably wouldn't, like your longevity now, because you're creating in a way that's authentic to you, will allow you to be around for the long term versus if you popped off just because, you know, I can blow up doing this kind of music. You might've popped off quicker, but you probably would have kind of flamed out really fast because you're not doing what you want to do.
Exactly. I probably would have lost love for it and stopped even making, like, yeah. You're hitting the nail on the head.
And one thing too, like with your music, which is like, you're very vulnerable in your music. You know, you mentioned a little bit earlier, like you said, like, you know, so it's okay to cry, you know, like, which is, that's not typically like what you would associate with rap music, with hip hop music, is being vulnerable like that. Like, is that what separates you? Is that part of what separates you? You know, is you're being vulnerable. And that probably allows people to connect with you that much more because you are being vulnerable. They feel like they know you on a different level than they know some of their other favorite artists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's like one of my biggest goals is just to be so authentic to a point, vulnerable to a point where if one of my fans see me on the street, they can come to me like I'm a brother and talk to me. And I mean, I might not have as much time to talk about our problems, but they'll feel like they can. You know what I'm saying? They can be honest with me about them going through something. Like I said, I don't want my fans to post pictures with a lot of jewelry on saying, hey, I'm being like Fresco Trey. I want them to be a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, look, I'm going through something, but I'm going to get through it because I'm listening to Fresco Trey. You know what I'm saying? This girl broke my heart, but I'm going to get over it because I'm listening to Fresco Trey. That's what I want. You know what I'm saying? That's my goal. And me being vulnerable and just being open, I feel like it allows that.
I kind of want to talk about your creative process for writing music. Like, what inspires you to actually sit down and write a song? You know, you talk about with what you do, you have the freedom to wake up one day and, you know, if you want to write a song, you can. If you don't, you just want to kind of chill that day, you can do that too. So like, what has to happen for you to be like, yeah, I have a song. I want to wake up today and I want to work on music. Like, what inspires you to make a song?
I don't know. It's crazy because the creative process just makes my eyes light up every day. And every day I wake up and they do force me to go to the gym and go eat and everything, because I literally just want to be in my studio right here. And like, even if I'm not making a song, I'm making a beat. But I don't know. It's just really, I've been through a lot of stuff, and when I just hear beats, I just get some chills. And it's like every day. I was like, I don't know. I use the example of me wanting to rest and me not wanting to rest as an example, but like, more times out of anything, I want to be in here cooking up, making music. And it's just like, I can't tell you why. It's just something. That's how I know it's my passion. I love it because I just really just want to be. Bless you. But I just be wanting to be in here. It's like, it get to a point where I'll be out and I'll be sleepy in the car, and I'll come in here just to mix a song down just so I can hear it in my headphones so I can go to sleep, and I end up being in here another 4 or 5 hours because I didn't got remotivated. It's just crazy. It's crazy.
So do you like to start with a beat first, or do you like to start with lyrics first?
I like to start with a beat first. Sometimes I'll write certain lyrics down that I have walking around, but I'm like singing out loud, and I'll say some cool stuff. I'll write it down just to go back to it. But most times I like to hear the beat first. It puts me in a place.
And can give you the vibe too of like how, like, so like, once you have that beat, you kind of feel the vibe a little bit. How do you start then crafting lyrics to a beat? That's something I'm always curious about. Like, how do you, because you want to make sure you ride the beat properly. So like, how do you figure out how to write lyrics that match that beat?
So basically, when I hear a beat, all right, I'll put a beat on and then I'll just start singing. So like, they play a beat and I'll start singing. If I like the beat when I'm singing to it, I'll load it in and I'll get in behind my mic, and the whole beat, I'll just go and I'll sing. I might not be saying words, but I'm like just putting out melodies and stuff. And then when I'm hearing it and I play it back, I pick little certain pieces that I like and I write to that part. And I'll just really just like, I don't know, sometimes I'll like mumble out certain words and I'll be like, oh wait, maybe it sounds like I said something there. And I'll just use that and I'll build from there and I'll just put a story behind it. But usually the beat takes me to wherever I need to go. Like if it's a sad beat, I'll start hitting notes that's like, that'll good, like tear your gut. Or if it's a happy beat, I'll start hitting melodies that'll make you want to just move. So the beat really just controls everything I do.
So do you find most of the song, like, so do you freestyle then in terms of like the writing process? Are you writing in your notes app still? I know you did that after some of those early studio sessions, you're writing in your phone. Do you like to do like a pencil and paper? Like, what's the best way for you to kind of really craft the lyrics to the song?
I can't. So I jot down. So most times I'm just in here in the studio behind the mic and I'll do it like that. Because I can't really write before I go to the studio because, I don't know, it's just something where when I write before I go to the studio, I don't have the same energy as when I was thinking about it. It's like all the energy is always off. Like, I don't have the same oomph. So most times I'll just get behind the mic and I'll write behind the mic because I'm like right here. So it's just like, I'll write it and then like, all right, come on, and I'll just record it so I know the words. But I mean, most times I'll just jot down ideas before. I don't really never write a whole song because I know that I'm going to change most of it. So I just write down certain ideas.
That's interesting that you need the energy to be right when you're recording that song. And like, because then obviously if the energy, that's the energy in recording, that's the energy people are going to have when they listen to it. And so I never thought about that you might be like, if you're writing at home or something, you could be in one mindset and one energy, but when you get to the studio, it's a different mindset that can't match that energy from before. So you're not going to be able to properly like record it in the way you want to record it because the energies don't align from when you recorded it or from when you wrote it to when you're recording it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's like, when, like, so you're behind the mic, like, how long does it take to make a song typically? Like, if you get to the studio, like, are you finishing a song? Like, no, obviously, I know there's like, you got to go back and revisions and stuff like that. But like, do you have like a completed, like 2 to 4 minute track you can now go and work with? Or like, how many, when you're in the studio, are you kind of getting at least a rough cut of a song done?
So minimum, if I go to a studio session that's not my crib, minimum, I leave there with 3 songs. That's minimum. Finished, completed. But sometimes, you know, I get in the zone, I probably make like 7 or 8, maybe 9 or 10. It just depends on the vibe. I never force a vibe. I never force an energy. You can't, you know what I'm saying? So, but minimum, every time I go in, I start with a slow song. I'll go to the studio. I'll start with like a reggaeton dance hall type vibe. Then I'll do a rapping one where I like rap more. And then I'll go and do like a slow one. I do the slow one last because I'll be in the best flow. And I do my slow one. And then if I have more time, if I'm feeling it, I just do some other shit. I just go, keep going like that. But I try to do like three minimum. I try to make them different.
And do you like to have people in the studio with you? I know you need your Twix, your Red Bull, and your boy Matt's usually in the studio with you. But like, do you like to have a crowd there? Like, I've heard people say like when there's more than a few people in the studio, they feel like they have to perform. So that kind of elevates them when they're behind the mic and they're recording that song because they feel like they're performing for those people that are in the room. But I've also heard the reverse where people don't want anybody in the room because it's such a personal experience to make a song. It's like, where do you kind of land on that spectrum? Do you want people there to perform or do you want it to be kind of a personal experience?
I want my boys there. I don't want any girls there, though. Like, while I'm recording, there's no girls in the studio. When I'm done recording, we can have as many as we want. But a lot of times, girls don't understand the creative process. They don't understand that it might be 10 minutes where no music is playing, where we're trying to figure out a ad lib. You know what I'm saying? Where we're trying to write lyrics. And sometimes you can sense the energy just shifting. So like, I do know girls in the studio, but... I want my boys in there with me for sure, just because they give me energy. Sometimes they help with lyrics, you know, they'll tell me when shit's not sounding good, and I like to have them in there.
With them telling you when shit's not sounding good, like how do you, because that takes a level of humility, right? Because like, especially as like you continue to grow and grow and grow, like you're that guy. So like, how do you make sure to balance, like obviously you're that guy, but like to be able to take that feedback with humility?
So humility is one of my key principles in life. And anybody who comes around me, they have to be humble or you can't be around me. Cause like, if you ask any of my friends, like they'll tell you that like, it's hard to grasp where I'm at in life with my music because I'm so like still the same person since I was playing basketball. Just like going to joke with you all day. You know what I'm saying? Gonna let you, like, bro, literally, I let, like, all my friends, like, I got, like, my cars, like, they could just, I let them drive it, like, my clothes, if they wanna wear some shoes, it's whatever. Like, you don't even, like, I'm just so, like, humble still because of how I was brought up. And they know that. And I know that I'm, like, my boys, like, my biggest fans for real, like, and they love my music. So I know when they tell me something that something's bad, it's not because they're hating or whatever. They're trying to get, they love my music, so they want to hear the best shit. So I take it all away like a, you know, a grain of salt. Like, bro, come on, let's make the, because I'm a person who wants to make the best music. Like, I told my dad one time, I was like, I want to have writers sometimes in the studio because I want to make the best music. Like, you know, it's just not about the money for me. Like, I'll split some money with people. I just want to make super good music, bro, and like touch the world. So I love it when people come like tell me real honest feedback. Like my engineer, Ace, he's like one of my main engineers right now. I love working with him because whenever we're in the studio, he gonna be in there critiquing me, letting me know like, hey bro, like nah, don't hit that note, hit this note, and he gonna actually be present. And I love it, bro. I love it so much.
And you mentioned too how like sometimes there might be like 10 minutes where there's no music happening. You know, you're trying to figure out like a lyric or something or an ad lib. Have you ever had days where like it's just not clicking in the studio at all? Like, you know, you said you usually leave with 3 songs. Like, are there days where you're there for hours and you leave with no songs? Like, where you just can't find it that day?
Yeah, it's been like that before. It's like that a lot, bro. But, you know, like, and that's why I was telling you about my spirituality, where like you don't let it get you down. You stay here because you know, all right, I've been having a block for 2 days, but I know I'm going to have 2 weeks where like I can't fucking miss. So it's just like, you know, it's all cool, you know. I've been through that before.
how do you break that writer's block though? Like, yes, you've got your spirituality that kind of keeps you level, mm-hmm. but how do you break through writer's block? Because for some people, once they hit that writer's block, they let it get to them, and you know, it becomes more than one day where they can't figure it out. They can't find their groove. They can't find their rhythm. How do you break through writer's block for you?
Shit, I just leave the studio and go freaking go like swim or something, or go skating or play basketball. I just go do something else, you know, and then come back to it whenever I feel it. One time I went on a writer's block and I didn't go to the studio for like a week. I was just doing other stuff, you know. It's a vibe you just gotta go with.
That's the thing though. I feel like a lot of people, like when you're in the studio for so long, it starts like, it's hard to write when you have no life experiences to write about. Like when you're in the studio for so many days, for so many hours, like all you've seen is these four walls. It's hard to be inspired sometimes or have things you can talk about when you haven't seen, you've been with those same people in that same room, like over and over again. Like you said, you need that time away from the studio so you can just kind of breathe a little bit, have some experiences, live life that can then inform and influence your work when you come back to the studio.
Yeah. And also a lot of people think, all right, if I'm not in the studio, or if I'm not doing something with music, I'm not working hard. But coming from sports, I'm a big believer in the recovery process as well. Like, cause when you in sports and you working out every day, pumping weight, running, whatever is going on, you need those 2 or 3 days to let your muscles grow and let them rest and let them rejuvenate. So I'm a big believer in really just like recovering. You know, a lot of people be like, bro, I don't sleep, I be working. Well, good for you. I'm gonna sleep my 8 hours every day and I'm gonna get some food. I'm gonna, you know what I'm saying? Because like that makes me better. It fuels me. That's like my power source. And you know, I try to express that to people too, bro. Like, don't get caught up in that, oh, you can't sleep, bro. You sleep and you dead. No, bro. You're gonna not sleep and then die. Like, bro, you need to sleep. For real. Like, sleep is super important. And Gary Vee taught me that for real.
Absolutely. And like with that too, like with the comparing sports to music, like with sports, if you want to practice something and get better, it's very easy to know how to do that. Like if you want to get better at free throws, that corner three, like, you know, you got to just take more shots from the corner. But like with music, it's kind of tough to know like how, like when you're getting better, it's like hard to have deliberate practice. Like what do you do to make sure you're improving as an artist and not just doing the same things you're comfortable with over and over again?
I think that's like, that goes to just having people around me that are creatives and that will bring new ideas. Because if I'm just by myself in the studio every day, all my shit will start sounding the same. But me having creative friends who, you know, think different or do stuff, it brings fresh ideas to me and, you know, different ways. Like I was telling about my boy Ace, when we were in the studio, he always pushes me, hit these type of notes, bro. Like, come to, like, do it differently. And that's kind of like what it is for me. And I learn from that and I apply it to myself when I'm alone. I listen to a plethora of music. And I try to always keep adding to my musical, you know what I'm saying, repertoire, because, you know what I'm saying, like, I pull from everywhere. So me, the more I know, the more it'll help me.
And when you're listening to other people, because like, I feel like so many like creative people, they feel as though like they can't be influenced by other things because it's like they feel like they have to be completely 100% original. But like where originality comes from is taking bits and pieces from everywhere and putting them together in your own way. And that's where uniqueness comes from. It's like when you're listening to someone, like I know it's three of your biggest influences, Tupac, Bieber, and Post, like, or when you're just listening to new music, like what are you listening for that the average person wouldn't necessarily be listening for that might influence the way you make your music?
Oh, I mean, I listen to the beats. I listen to the notes that the artist hits. I listen to when they're like they stack their vocals. If they just do one main vocal, I listen to just how like they structure the song, go from their verse to their hook and the hook back to their verse. I listen to I like to see how I can do that better in my songs. I listen to how they start their songs, if they started like in a lower register, and then when do they go higher, and like when does it sound right when they go high, or do they start it high and then eventually go low? It's a lot of different things I take from it. Just because, I don't know, it's so interesting to me. Like when I listen to Adele, I like to listen to how she starts off low and then eventually goes high because she does so good with like singing low and then out of nowhere you go to a note that you cannot hit. Like I'm singing with her and then she just goes. And Sam Smith does it as well. And I love it about them. So I want to be able to. I've been working with my vocal coach. I'm trying to like get to that low to high register and like a smooth transition. Yeah, like I listen to Morgan Wallen. I like to listen to how he like goes from his hooks are super interesting to me because when you listen to it, you would think that it would repeat more like one more time than it does, but he ends it like two bars short and it's weird, but it works and it's just crazy. I don't know. This is a lot of crazy technical shit I take from it that, you know.
That's cool though. And so when you are listening, is it like you try to like just be in a room by yourself when you're listening? Are you taking notes? Are you just like, is it just kind of like as you're going about your day, you might notice things? Like, is it intentional when you're listening and you're trying to learn these things, or kind of just like as you go about your day, you just pick up on these things?
It's intentional, but it's not like super intentional to where like I got to be in a room by myself. I'm just listening to it. Like if we play it on a speaker in the car, I'm just noticing. I'm just like listening for different stuff that everybody else is. In my own space, you know? So that's what it is.
And is there a consistent routine for you with making music? Is like every day at like 7 p.m. I got to be in the studio and that's your routine? Or can you kind of show up at any point in time and find that vibe and energy in order to make a song? Or is it like very routine for you?
No, it ain't routine. It's just really just like I'm feeling. You know, I'm going to get up one day at 5, get some tea and come in here and just cook for a little bit, or might sleep late, go work out, then come here. I mean, I'm here every day, but it's just like, it's not like a set routine. It's just, like I said, whenever the vibe feels right, when I feel like I should be in there, that's when I go.
And like, if you were to try and explain that vibe, how would you explain it?
Say you just got a new, all right. For example, say you just got a new Xbox, right? On Sunday. So your parents gave you your Xbox on Sunday at 8 p.m. But you got a curfew at 10 p.m. to be asleep. And you play your game for 2 hours, but you got to go to sleep. And the next day while you at school, the whole time you're like, bro, I cannot wait to get back to my Xbox. Like, I got to beat this mission that I left off on. You ever had that feeling before? It's just like going through that feeling of like, bro, I can't wait to get back home. That's the vibe I'm talking about. When I get like, it's like that type of feeling where I get, and I'm like, all right, I need to be in the studio.
When it's like the only thing you can think about, and no matter how hard you try, nothing else penetrates. It's just what you got in the brain. It'll be the Xbox or your music. That's the vibe. That's the energy.
Exactly.
I relate to that. I like that a lot. I know we're running out of time here. Let me jump to my last two questions. One of your lyrics is chasing your dreams tend to cost a lot. Mm-hmm. What does it cost you?
You know, a lot of people think I'm talking money, which is super true. Chasing your dreams do cost a lot of money. But I really was just talking about it costs you a lot of sacrifices, bro. Like, it's like when you're chasing your dreams, sometimes you got to sacrifice not going to hang out. You know what I'm saying? Not having a girlfriend because they don't understand at the time. You know what I'm saying? It's just like really just it costs you a lot. It costs you a lot of sleep, time, sweat equity in your life, bro. And that's what I meant when I wrote it. Also, like I said, also money, though. That's what I meant when I wrote it, bro. It's just a lot of sacrifice you got to make.
Man, I appreciate your time. I've had a blast having you on the show. This has been a good time. I'm going to ask you the last question that I ask everybody at the end of every interview. But for this last question, instead of me asking the question, it's you asking the question, but it's not to me. So pretend you have a crystal ball. You can ask this crystal ball any question. You'll get the 100% honest answer. What is one question you want to know the answer to?
Damn, that's a good one. Hold on. One thing that I would want to know the answer to would probably be, shit, is what I'm doing, what I'm supposed to be doing, is what I want to know, is what I'm doing right now, is what I'm supposed to be doing, like what I'm here to do. I feel like it is, but I just want to know.
I like it, man. That's a good question. But I want to thank you once again so much for taking the time to come on this podcast. I had a great time chatting with you. I want to give you the floor now. Where can the people find you? Where can they find your music? I know Heartbreak Diaries 2 recently released. Like, I want you to plug anything and everything you got right now.
Oh, yeah. Like you said, man, Heartbreak Diaries is everywhere, too. You can find me everywhere at Fresco Trey, FRESCOTREY, everywhere. And, yeah, man, like, just, like I always tell everybody, whatever I do, I say this, if we show more love than we do hate, the world will be great. I stand by that. I believe in that. And, you know, whatever you want to do in life, you can do it. Just go for it, man. Don't look back. So.
I love that, man. No better place to end off than that. I want to thank you once again for taking time to come on the podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening. Whether you've listened the entire way through or you only listen to Bits and Pieces, I really appreciate you for taking time to check this out. Do me a big favor. Go and follow Dre on social media. Go and stream Heartbreak Diaries 2. Everything will be linked in the show notes down below so you can find it. If you'd like to follow me, you can find me everywhere on social media at the Jacob Kelly. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. As always, today's podcast is powered by Serve. Thank you once again for listening. We'll talk soon.